Buddhists have a slightly bigger definition of person than perhaps most people do, because for us, a person is a self, I, a being. These are all synonyms: person, self, I, being, imputed upon any of the five aggregates. That's the definition of a person: a self or I imputed upon any of the five aggregates. Form, feeling, discrimination, conscious factors, consciousness. So for us, every living being is a person. Animals are persons for a Buddhist. Right now, this person is in a human body. Next life, maybe in an animal body. Next life, maybe in a hungry ghost body. Always we have respect. Every single living being is an I, is a self, is a person, is a being. We have to understand. So sometimes my I is imputed upon a human body, but sometimes maybe a different type of body. So that's, if that's the definition of a person, what is the function of a person? Buddha defined everything. What is the function of a person? What would you say? Function of a person. According to Buddha, Venerable Geshe says in How to Understand the Mind, the function of a person is to perform actions and experience their effects. That's who we are. That's what we do. We perform actions and we experience their effects. Action means karma. We create karma and we experience the effects of the karma we create. That's the function of a person. Our very being is defined by our karma. Every moment of our being is defined by our karma. This is not like a secondary, subsidiary subject. It's right at the core of our very being, our karma. What karma we create, when and how that karma ripens, what experiences we have. The more we think about these things, and if you refer back to this morning's teaching, I keep saying this morning, I think we're still in the morning. It's two teachings in the morning, is it? Anyway, whatever, the previous teaching. If we refer back to that, we can see that we can arrive at certainty. And by that, I don't just mean a subjective feeling of certainty. We can arrive at certain knowledge, non-deceptive understanding, non-deceptive, I want to say, realization of each of these aspects of karma, realizing that they are completely true, and then applying them in our daily life, living accordingly. So now we're, what the Americans say, under the hood. The British say, under the bonnet, which is very quaint. It's like, you've got a car and it's running well, but then you lift up the hood and you look. How's this thing work? I just sit in here and I'm just, my foot's going up and down, the thing's, how's that work? So you lift the hood up and you see all the parts of the engine and how it all works. Well, some people do. I just get confused. But here, we're lifting up the hood on our life, on our mind, seeing what is the mechanism, what is the mechanism of samsara? What is the mechanism of this impure life that I'm living? Now we're looking at the specifics, the specific functions of our mind that creates the karma and experience the effect of karma. And the more we understand that, I don't just mean some sort of general understanding, but the more time we spend watching our own mind, the more understanding we have of how this happens in our own experience, then the more we are able to live, first of all, live in accordance with the laws of karma, and secondly, harness the laws of karma. Gain control over our karma. I want to say manage our karma. We can manage our karma if we understand what it is and how it works. We don't have to be intimidated. Some people think karma is some kind of fatalistic view. It's not. We can decide what karma we can create, and we can also, to a very large extent, decide what karma is going to ripen on us at any one time. And we can also, if we know how to do purification, for example, then we can decide how to purify the non-virtuous potentialities that remain in our consciousness from previous non-virtuous actions, we can destroy their potency. Maybe we did a negative action. We can't do anything about the fact that that negative action was done. Can't undo an action. But you can destroy the potency, the potentiality that that action has left in your mind, the potentiality to produce a result, to produce an effect. And that's, for example, in the purification practices that Buddha taught us, that's what we're doing. It's as if you've got a seed and you boil that seed. It still looks like a seed, but there's no potency in there. It isn't a seed. In reality, it's just the shell of a seed. It cannot produce a sprout. When we purify through using special technology, meditation technology, we can purify these potentialities. So even though we committed many non-virtuous actions in the past, they do not have the potential anymore to produce a suffering effect. Just knowing that is so reassuring, so liberating. We have that degree of control over our karma, and we also have the possibility to avoid creating non-virtuous karma in the future and apply all our energy in this life to creating, engaging in virtuous karma. And just having an abstract understanding of this is not enough. We need, through our own experience, this means we need to look inside our mind, in real life, in real time, watch our mind at work and see ourselves creating karma, see ourselves experiencing the effects of our karma. Learn, watch, learn, manage our karma.